Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Thursday, May 18th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have my regular Thursday co-host here with us. Dutch citizen broadcasting from the south of France, Wilhelm Belderhof. Wilhelm.
Hi, Richard. Good to be with you. How are you doing?
Good. As good as can be expected with all the social engineering we have out there, of course. How have things been for you the past week?
Well, I'm very happy with the rain because that was really a priority because the restrictions on water use and the regulations, new water policies, because the droughts were just crawling into my personal life. So it has been raining for the last few weeks. So that's really good. So I'm happy with that. That's my primary source of living, actually, the water and the river where I live on. So I'm happy with that. So I'm doing good.
Great. No, that's good. On a personal level, you have that improved situation, and water is part of life, as you say. Life itself.
Exactly. And they're calling for more restrictions on it, also in Holland. And for as long as it is present, of course, here, the water, because as soon as the real heat hits in, like in Spain, it will be dry pretty soon again. But for now, the coming months, I will be okay. But water is, big companies like Nestle, they have been buying up all the water sources almost in most parts of the world. Especially South America, but Europe and also in Africa. But and they are already saying that it's not a primary right of the people to use the natural sources of water anymore. So you have to pay for it, of course, or you have to, it will be included in your social credit maybe in some way, or we'll see. But for now, I'm on the sort of short term, I'm okay with the water.
Well, yes, at least for the moment. And as far as the news out there, I'd like to get your take on some of what's circulating. This first one, I sent this to you. I don't know if you had a chance to at least have a glance. African leaders initiate quote-unquote peace mission with Putin and Zelensky. A group of African leaders are pushing a peace plan in an attempt to get Russia and Ukraine to the negotiating table. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, who had of late been accused of having friendly relations with Moscow, said Tuesday that both Russia's President Putin and Ukraine's President Zelensky have agreed to host a delegation of African leaders. My discussions with the two leaders demonstrated that they are both ready to receive the African leaders and to have discussion on how this conflict can be brought to an end. Ramaphosa said, as quoted, whether that will succeed or not is going to depend on the discussion that will be held. Now, I don't know. The South African leader listed other countries backing the peace initiative as follows: Senegal, Uganda, Egypt, the Republic of the Congo, and Zambia. Their leaders will reportedly send representatives for meetings in both Moscow and Kiev at an undisclosed date. Associated Press has also noted that four of those six African countries, South Africa, Republic of Congo, Senegal, and Uganda, abstained from a UN vote last year on condemning Russia's invasion. Zambia and Egypt voted in favor of the motion. However, on Wednesday, Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, said his government has yet to receive anything official regarding a meeting with African leaders or a firm date, but he welcomed the move. Lavrov also reiterated what he pointed to as the real problem which blocks authentic dialogue, stating the reckless expansion of NATO, not only eastward but also northward, and in other geographic directions, undermines the very prospect of any further normal conservation about European security, unquote, he told in a press briefing. Wilhelm, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? My first thought was, you know, these African leaders doing this, this is more theater being staged, just like in the films now, we have, you know, these noble black heroes, you know, who have a stronger moral conscience and save the day from the reckless white people and everything. You know, they want more of this in real life. And so, of course, you know, implement it when possible. You know, affirmative action appointees as peacemakers. That was my first thought. But, I mean, some of the points they make, of course, in the quotes there are valid nonetheless. Are they being guided in what you always have referred to as theater with this Ukrainian conflict? What are your thoughts, Wilhelm?
Well, yeah, I got the same kind of feelings when I read this article. And these noble people from the East and from the South, you know, they are just reacting to this evil white Western aggression, which is ongoing with their expansion towards the East, which are valid points, of course. That's true with the whole alternative perception of the people in the West see Russia as sort of a good guy and that they are actually just protecting their borders and doing the right thing, actually, in reaction to this decades-long aggression of NATO and expanding towards the East. So, and these seem very valid points, of course. But then at the same time, you see this complete power transfer, world power transfer, and the whole shift of the Western world is just collapsing under our eyes, blatantly in our face. And that's not just a coincidence or just a cause and effect by this aggression and suicidal policies by these insane, politicians who are just making mistakes or have this ridiculous policies on climate or racism, immigration, all this stuff, which is completely suicidal. But you wonder, where does this come from and who are really aware what they are doing and are just agents for this machine, this world communist machine, which is being pulled up in our face, and the collapse of the Western world is just and needed for this geographic transfer as well, because the whole axis will go through these BRICS countries, through Africa, which is under a lot of Chinese and Russia control already. For a long time, towards South America, with Brazil as a BRICS country as well, Venezuela, and these countries there in South America as well. So in the process of the collapse of the West is ongoing. Yeah, we see these kinds of news coming by these noble people with the notion that the West is just aggressive and white, of course. There's always this element in it, which is getting more absurd also if you switch on the television, or the anti-white propaganda is just ridiculous and over the top, so much over the top that just also people who are not so much involved in it or just looking at the news or only looking at mainstream information, they see this, starting to see this as well, that it's getting quite ridiculous and annoying as well, this ridiculization and also demonizing of white people with this recent mass shooting in the United States with this Mexican guy who is apparently white nationalist or white supremacist. So that is also a nice side effect. Well, not nice, it's very sad, of course, but that normal or just more locked in people are also starting to see this thing, although it's pretty late, if not too late. And even to come to certain action to stop this madness. But yeah, I see this news also from what you said, and I share that it's just an ongoing process. And in this process of this shift, this new world order, this world communist order, with the also the inherent collapse of the West is continuing as if this is just a spontaneous, organic dynamic ongoing. But no, it is not. And you wonder who's involved, to what degree, to what awareness here in the West, especially, who's just dictating these complete suicidal policies.
Yes, and it seems at the very least, the justifiable reason for the survival instinct of the U.S. federal corporate empire, if you will, not for the good of its people, but for its own bloated bureaucratic survival, that it will, seeing that shift, doing whatever it can to at least delay that shift. You know, they're never willing to pay American workers enough to not offshore and outsource all their technology manufacturing sort of jobs and keep it, go back to the way things were whatsoever. Because that would, of course, I mean, I don't know, you know, they need that. I don't know, capitalism thrives off that disparity between rich and poor, you know, even between upper middle class and working class, you know, the difference between those, the stronger, the wider it is, the more capitalism thrives on, you know, the pyramid scheme that it is, exploiting and cannibalizing, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that's what it is. And that's now just getting more extreme, but it's the same mechanism, it's the same sort of structure, although the middle class is of course being attacked most and most for in the West, so that's for sure a thing. So that will be, it's like, well, first you have the socialism or democracy, sort of, the democracy is already like an illusion of you know, the majority decides what's going to happen with the minorities, or sort of thing, that the majority rules. That's, of course, has nothing to do with freedom or equality, or, you know, it's an illusion by itself, and it's always going in shifts into socialism, which then goes into communism. And the middle class is getting destroyed as we speak here in the West, especially. So that makes it easy to and I think that's what's also in Russia and China already. There is not really a middle class. And that's what I saw in Brazil as well. There is not really a middle class. You have the people who work are poor, whether they have, you know, a store or a shop or a garage or whatever they do, they are just poor. So it seems that there is a middle class, but there isn't actually, in a certain way. And I think that's also what's in China and Russia. They already there. So what you see in Europe now happening with all these COVID rules and dictates, lockdowns, where the supermarkets could stay open, these billionaire-owned supermarkets could just stay open, and just the bakeries and the butchers with family business, they had to close. So it's really a blatant attack on the West, and these liberals are just a coward. That's what is, cowardice is just driving them, and being tolerant, well, that's not going to work. That's causing suicide at the end. So it's remarkable, and but at the same time, it also gives some opportunities, I think, for some change of perception or action or life itself, and the perception on the society itself. But it's not a pleasant thing.
As well as improvement in your own personal life, of course, with after reflection, that this can invoke, certainly. And as far as the geopolitical, to get back to that for a moment, I mean, at least economically, the West feels threatened by China and feels threatened by Russia. These developing economies and the trade alternatives being established between they and their currencies. And so I get this article on Sunday, the 14th of May, U.S.-China tensions thawing, as Washington fears allies will view policies as too aggressive. This was at antiwar.com. And basically, elaborating on just that. You know, other countries want to do trade. And the U.S. is seeing how much more isolated it'll make the U.S. if they continue, regardless. This other article, things are closer to getting lit globally. At first, I thought they were talking about more military aggression, but no, it's speaking about economics. Things are closer to getting lit globally. This week's G7 will focus on Russia and China. On the former, the Financial Times warns Russia's economic war with the West moves to a new front line, and Western firms risk losing their assets with little or no compensation. What makes them think the same wouldn't be repeated in China should sanctions be rolled out for it? And so, I mean, they're going on about China. Bloomberg says Wall Street's biggest banks face a harsh reality check in China, and that they are scaling back ambitious expansion plans and profit goals as a deteriorating geopolitical climate and President Xi Jinping's willingness to sacrifice economic priorities for security concerns rock the private sector and throttle deal making. Now, there's a realization they need a fundamental rethink on the world's number one economy because the business climate has weakened significantly and the best opportunities for making outsized profits in the country are over, according to the senior executives. Publicly, everyone's saying the same thing. China is still a massive opportunity, and they have no plans to pull out, especially since so much money has already been spent. Privately, Wall Street executives are saying it's difficult to maintain good standing with both sides as tensions repeatedly flare. The article adds China is no longer a top three investment priority for a majority of U.S. firms, according to American Chapter of Commerce survey. And China is also now closing down cross-border broker trading apps and to prevent capital outflows. If only these masters of the universe had read political economy, economic history, or Marxism, Leninism, or read someone who had. Recall, we were warning of this outcome as far back as 2017, the article states. Your comments, Willem.
Yeah, but you wonder what's going on, of course. If you read these kind of articles, you really wonder what and who is driving in what way these geopolitical forces and dynamics. I mean, if you look at it from a distance, if you see the military presence of the United States, also in China, around China and with Japan and all these bases over there, and also around Russia, it's clearly that they are projected as being the aggressor. Of course, the West is the aggressor, and that's a valid point in a certain way. But we don't know what's happening, from another level. Because that's also in the interest of Russia and the East, Russia and China. This insane behavior of the United States seems like aggression, and that then they feel threatened or they have to take certain steps. But it's in the interest of these countries as well, who want to take over, or maybe that's already happening for a long time, this world order and control it from over there, while the West is collapsing because of their own stupid fault of the white aggression. So you wonder how these dynamics, from which polarity they are being driven, and where it comes from, and who's driving it.
Absolutely, and the ways there may be divisiveness among the upper ranks. We'll be right back, folks.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Belderhof. And, well, of course, Wilhelm, I cannot speak for to what extent there's, we'll say, kosher-friendly, Jewish power-friendly, that is, factions in current Russia, current-day Russia or China. Some are more willing to lend their theories on that. I don't know how much evidence there is one way or another. There's evidently a bit related to banking and affiliations with international organizations and what have you. But what we do know for certain, I mean, there's regarding Jewish power, there are factions in Europe. There are factions in the United States, and there are factions, of course, in Israel. And each of these factions may have some things they agree on and other things, which is a bit more partial to their faction benefiting the most, if at all possible, or how things will turn out best for them. It's perhaps the best way to say it. And so, I mean, I don't know. The more I think about this Eurasian shift we've been discussing for years and related to Dugin and his national Bolshevism, him having it on our minds, having it on his mind, therefore us wary of him, being aware of a lot of this stuff for quite a while, from a lot of sources, really, is showing it's inevitable with the directions that we're taking. You know, including who does all the manufacturing. But we have supposedly Israel, as the theory goes, aligning itself so that it'll make out just fine you know, interacting with the Far East and with Africa and the natural resources that already has dibs in, perhaps there, in Europe and the Middle East, Europe, Africa / Middle East, and the Far East of Asia, interconnected, and that's the theory of Ukraine, you know, the second Israel, all that. I don't know, though. I mean, it all sounds great on paper, you know, but if in an increasingly anti-white conglomerate, if you will, of this Eurasian faction that's developing more and more, I mean, they're not going to be able to get away with everything they could in the past. I can't imagine any country or group of countries, you know, standing up militarily for Israel the way the United States has in the past, Willem.
Well, yeah, that you might think that, but Europe is doing the same thing by joining the United States and seeing who's controlling in control in the United States and who controls financially also the United States and the West. And, you know, so and it's the banks who profit from war. So this war in Ukraine, this all this delivery of more, you know, F-16s from Holland, from the UK, and more weaponry, that's for the banks, it's the best thing. War is the best thing, of course, for central banks.
Well,
but there, at the same time, there's a...
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Well, in history, we have seen that the Rothschilds of central banks, they financed the war, both parties, you know, the good and the bad guy were financed by the same banking cartels. So that's still not changed, in my view. Although you don't see it exactly where it comes from, but the IMF, the Federal Reserve, World Bank, and the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, they are controlled by the same entity with different frontmen. But so that's still the same, I think, on a global level, that they are profiting from that. You see a sort of kosherness rising, more and more kosher in every corner of the society, with more anti-Semitism laws and restrictions, more...
Yeah, well, they have to do that. I mean, because there's not as much of a stigma against anti-Semitism from all these people. They are moving into white countries, all these Indians and blacks and Asians. You know, they don't have you know, the same stigma about speaking out against Jewish power, and you know, that's going to be the big thing. They also won't protect Israel as the Arab nations get well, tired of them in the next 10 to 20 years. They and if the U.S. went down as a superpower economically and militarily, inevitably along the way, I don't know. In the future, it seems like people would have to abandon Israel because it's surrounded by Arabs. You know.
Yeah, that's also, they are also acting suicidally. They, you know, with their control obsession and also their religious efforts. They hate the West. They hate the white Western nations. Of course, that's clear. They were writing these immigration laws, open the floodgates. These are quotes from Jewish people in office who installed all these immigration acts and literally opened the floodgates. And also are on the basis with Hollywood and all propaganda history rewriting. Mm-hmm. Created this self-hatred in the Western countries, because that's a real problem as well.
Right. I hear the music. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
They're making the last film. They say it's the best, and we all help make it. It's called The Death of the West. The kids from fame will all be there. Free Coca-Cola for you.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Felderhoff. And that was Death of the West by Death in June. That one goes out to Barbara Spector. And that's something I was going to start with, Wilhelm. I mean, these Euro-Jew types, such as Barbara Spector, over there in Europe, for them, I think there is some legitimacy to this second Israel Ukraine theory. And regardless of the Khazarian thing or not, it's just convenient geopolitically and geographically more than anything. If there is a shift of economic power and trade centralization, that being a nexus to so many regions, if you take away the factor of the U.S., as being significant. It's all cozy for them. This Eurasian shift is the way I see it. And, perhaps some U.S. Jews are even on the fence. They'll be fine with jumping ship and going overseas when things are better over there somewhere or another for them. Get appointed with something from their buddies. But for Israel and those who are very loyal to Israel, more perhaps in the U.S. than in Europe, these days especially, it looks like to have an Israel continuing to exist in the semi-long-term future, you need a strong U.S. military. To have a strong U.S. military, you need a strong U.S. economy. thus the need for these wars, just because of economics. There's talk now they want to, that the focus all along, you know, was regime change in Russia. They want Putin out of there and someone else in. They want to eventually balkanize into a lot of smaller nations, the Russian territories, which will be a lot easier to control and manipulate. And primarily, this is economic. And I'd say that it's the Israeli Jewish power faction, a pro-Israel a Jewish power faction, which needs this war economically more than anyone who has the most influence. And then other Jewish power factions are fine with the Eurasian shift and just Russia prevailing and everything continuing as planned, including a deteriorating U.S. economy and U.S. military. If so be it. So I don't know. What are your thoughts, Willem?
Yeah, I think it's very well put. Interesting take on this, what's happening from a Jewish perspective. I mean, the fall of the West and this so-called end-time war between Gog and Magog is also Jewish prophecy. And that's being self-fulfilled also by people who believe in these scriptures and what's there in the Torah. It says the destruction of the nations, the Gentile nations. So I think that is that's very true. Also, what's very important, or it's not to forget that Israel is also a close ally of Russia, and that's often forgotten because we think it's only United States. But you wonder if to what degree Russia is actually controlling the United States via Israel. That's possible. I mean, 1/3 or 25% in Israel of Jews are Russian Jews who left Russia when. This theater of the collapse of communism with the fall of the wall happened. It was a new exodus towards Israel. So it's a close allied state of Russia as well. And that's an interesting thing. But the shift to Ukraine as another Jewish powerhouse built on a complete destroyed nation, because that's what they do, the destroyers of the nations. That's what some rabbis even call themselves. We are the real destroyers of the nations. So it's an interesting thing you say. And yeah, we are being set up as being another sort of part of this melting pot like Russia is already, the Russian Federation, all these the different religious parts, Muslim parts, all these Turkish, whatever, in the Azerbaijan regions, to all to the East Mongolian, are all under Kremlin control to most degrees. So it's just waiting that we are being transferred into such a melting pot as well. But yeah, I agree with that. That's what in Ukraine is happening. That it's very much connected with getting another base, maybe, and then controlling Europe like this Barbara Spector insect creature said as well, openly. And if we mention about that we are anti-Semites.
Oh, of course. Of course we would be and are to mention such things. But yes, so, I mean, it seems to be a reality. I don't know if there's, well, a lot of the U.S. Support for this war is, of course, controlled by who, would you say? I mean, when I talk about the Israel long-term factor, I just see, as much as you say Russia as being on good terms with Israel, they're also on good terms, Russia that is, with Iran and a lot of other Arab nations, a bit more friendly than the U.S., Syria. A lot of these countries who are adversaries of Israel. So, I mean, if anything, they're kind of more middle of the road, neutral, Russia in those regarding those nations and geopolitics with Israel. It's not quite the same thing as, where Russia would go to war and have Israel's back the same way the U.S. In the current situation with their big war machine. If that were to dwindle to something that isn't even able to help in future. That's my only strong observation there. But you make some good points, Willem. We have some callers. I see for a while we've had Charles in St. Petersburg, Florida. Charles.
Yeah, Richard and Wilhelm. Yeah, you noticed the truthseeker.co.uk has been on and off. It looks like it's under DDoS attack. And they had an interesting article in the Truthseeker by Philip Girardi. I don't know if you saw that, either of you.
Well, no, tell us about it briefly so we could have Wilhelm comment.
Yeah, I was talking about our beloved governor here and his efforts. He's going over to Israel to sign in the new law forbidding anti-Semitism and hate in Florida.
Right. But
30 other states.
If Wilhelm isn't familiar, the Governor DeSantis, Florida governor here.
Yes.
Yeah, he actually went to Israel to sign one of these pieces of legislation in the past couple of years, two pieces of anti-Semitism legislation, pretty wide and vague in their terminology. So that's
yeah,
always
just an accident. He goes over there, you know, Jews have no power. That's a anti-Semitic trope. They have no power. They show their power by not showing their power. You can't talk about them. Well, that's hate. You know, even talked about George Soros. You can't talk about him. He's maybe even Karl Marx. Marx would call the invasion of the United States. He would call that lumpenization of the proletariat in this country. They're driving. Marx said that Marxist definition: the lumpen proletariat is driving the working class into a lumpen proletariat, a fourth world status where they're just eking out a living, like in Latin America. They want. I'm sure the capitalists want war and suffering and immiseration and lumpenization of the proletariat in this country and Europe too. That's the morality is the morality of buy cheap and sell dear, as Marx put it. That's about all I have to say, you know.
I mean, it should raise just a lot of anger and concerns with people if there's a senator going to a foreign country, signs these hate speech laws over there, pledging alliance to this foreign country, which is controlling Congress, and that's a good thing, you know. It's what Trump says. It was really a good thing that Israel was really controlling Congress, but then still millions of people are supporting these people who are openly supporting a foreign country. Which is by all this nature, it's really parasitic. It's sucking it dry, literally, the West, and destroying it with all these destructive things. Even now, calling cultural Marxist ideologies is anti-Semitic to say here in Europe. And the restrictions here are really bad in Europe. I mean, if you have certain stuff on your computer now in the UK, for instance, these manifestos of so-called mass shooters, you can go to jail, and people are actually in jail. Just by sending it to other people without opening it in the United States, you can be sent to jail. So it's off the scale. And these people are just like ADL are lobbying 24/7 to increase this tyranny.
Well, thank you, Charles.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go to Tom in Florida. Tom.
Hello? Richard, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Tom.
Yeah, you know, we're hearing about the Zionist occupation here. Let's talk about what's going on right now with Donald Trump Jr. Calling out Adam Shifty Schiff there in California. And Shifty Schiff, for 6 years, has been promoting Donald Trump and Russia collusion. This guy should be locked up in handcuffs. He should be taken out of that Capitol Rotunda wherever he's at in his Congress officer in Washington arrested for the filthy lies. He's going on CNN. He's going on all these TV, liberals, NBC, CBS, ABC, going on there and lying and conniving about Donald Trump. And that's what these Zionists do. They're 2% of the population. People have got to understand that. Yet they control a massive amount of wealth. And they hate white Christian males for I don't know what reason, Richard, other than the fact that they save them from annihilation. Okay? Now, the Jewish problem here in this country is there's some good Jews. There's no question. Levin, you have some wonderful Jews. Let's not kid ourselves. Michael Savage was tearing up the Jews the other day. And, I mean, you got a lot of Jews that are conservative. They love this country. They love the Constitution. They love the Declaration of Independence. They love everything about this country, Bill of Rights. But you got a lot of Marxist, communist, Bolshevik Jews who just want to destroy this country at all costs. Even Joe McCarthy said that back in 1957, 56, whatever it was. He knew it. Now, you got these Zionist pigs like Adam Shifty Shift and Chucky Schmucky Schumer are taking their orders from Israel, and they went after Donald Trump. And you know what? I hate to tell you. They were wrong, and the American public sees it. 67% of the independent voters of this next election are going to vote against Biden, or it'll sit out the election. We're going to have an earthquake in this country here. And the Zionists are being exposed for what they are, like George Soros. You got Steyer. You got all these schmucks with all this money. They spent $380 million in Florida to try to take Trump from winning the state. It didn't work. Now we got to do it nationwide. Expose the hell out of them. And by the way, Richard, you know anything about this guy, Ed Buck? Remember Ed Buck, Richard?
No, I don't. Do you, Willem?
No. I've never heard of it.
Okay, Ed Buck was a big donor to Adam Schiff and the Democratic Party out there in California. He was the one that got the two black, he was a homosexual, that got the two blacks to OD and die. He had two black males in his mansion that OD'd and died. He ended up dying, I don't know if he died or he's in prison. I can't remember what his story is, but I know he was found guilty of murder on one of the Afro-American males. And he was having a homosexual act. Well, this guy's donated almost $2.5 million to Adam Schiff in Swalwell on there in California.
So, well, yeah. Tom, let's see if Willem wants to comment on this. This revelation that this whole Trump-Russia collusion was fabricated and the FBI knew it, but continued. This right. Durham report has pointed out. Willem, I mean, I know as much as you don't have any trust in left or right politics, as it were, political solutions and the parties as they are. Do you have any comment on this? You're being overseas, if you've been keeping up with any of it.
That's my point of view, is that this left or right doesn't matter. It's two sides of the same coin. But it's the same with Jewish Jews on the left or on the right who love the United States, love the Bill of Rights, but they still still believe in the Torah, most Jews, and they still believe in the idea that they are somehow sort of chosen and that they will always have all these wrong beliefs and very, destructive belief systems. And also, the top rabbis speak about the destruction of the West and the nations. And by identifying just with being Jewish, you identify with the Torah. If you accept the Torah and the Old Testament, what the Christians do as well, they worship the King of Zion. They are in a certain sense also Zionists because they believe in the Old Testament as well. So then it doesn't really matter on the left or right. They both have these destructive belief systems, and it doesn't really matter from which side it comes. It's destructive, especially for when they have this amount of control over these sections in the society.
And they have both sides playing along with the white genocide aspect of the agenda, I'll point up at this point.
Richard, I guess I want to say one thing. I heard Michael Savage the other day. Michael Savage, he's a Jew, and he wasn't sounding like that. Richard, Michael Savage was actually saying that, what they're doing to the white Americans in this country is disgraceful and disgusting, and it has to cease and desist at all costs. So Michael Savage is sticking his neck out and he was defending Trump supporters, the MAGA movement. So I got to give Savage some credit for being a Jew and saying that there's some very bad Kabbalists in this country, whatever you want to call them, that are wicked tuna. And, you know, they got to be weeded out. And if they don't like this country, they got a place they can go to Israel. They can go right back to Israel and live over there. Okay? They don't have, if they hate the United States so bad and white male Christians to save their ass in World War II, then, you know, look, if you ever see the movie Saving Private Ryan, Paul, you need to watch the scene when he's in the graveyard. There have one Star of David and the rest were crosses of Christian men. It was Christian men that won that war, and in World War One also. It wasn't Jews. Yeah, maybe you had a couple of Jews, and maybe you had a couple of Afro-Americans. But 99% of the men who went to wars in this country are white, Anglo-Christian, Northern European males who love Christianity and love their God and their Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's all I got to say. And I guarantee you, when they were in those bunkers, and they were, they say they were atheists at that time when they were, the shells were coming raining down there, saying, "Please, God, help me." So let's not kill ourselves.
Like, I guess we're skipping. Willem, would you like to respond to that?
Well, it's an interesting point as well, because this accounts for all immigrants. People come from other countries who are now calling the host countries people very institutionally racist countries. Then they should go back to their countries as well. It's the same for Africans or people from South America who go to the United States or to Europe to enjoy the welfare and everything of that. But if they don't like it, then why don't you go back? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Exactly, William. You're absolutely right. And, you know, when I look at all the great things white males did for this country, Henry Ford, Edison, and all the wonderful, Tesla. And we got to hear how bad white people are. Are you kidding me? The founding fathers were all white. They look a lot more like me than they did all these other minority groups. Okay? And William, just so you know, the biggest, the most soldiers ever fought in war for this country, other than the Irish and the English, were the Germans. I don't know if you're well aware of that, but most of the World War II, the soldiers in the United States military, I would say a good 48% of them, 50% of them were German-Americans. I want everybody to know that. And the country of Germany never owned slaves. They were not a slave-trading state country. So let's not kid ourselves. They never had slaves. They didn't want slaves.
It's a very sad thing, because it's also these First and Second World War were two massive brainwash operations as well. Just ethnic brothers fighting each other over nothing in the first, especially the First World War. Millions of died over this, financed by all countries by this same banks with this vaccination program as well, all the armies, which led us, you know, with this Spanish flu and everything. But the Europeans have been brainwashed for so long, and it's also causing this self-hatred, and we're just sitting ducks because we think that we are these evil white people. We don't make children. We have this colonial history, which is also completely upside down. I just saw a book review about King Leopold from Belgium in what he did in Africa, and I was always sort of thought about all these horrific stories, what he did there. Millions were killed and tortured. Well, it's completely... It's all based on one book written by a Jew. I don't know his name. But that's very sad. That's very sad. So this brainwashing has been going on for like so long. And that is causing also the white Europeans to be sort of sitting ducks in their own countries, hating themselves.
Tom?
Wilhelm, Ted Tenner said it best. He who controls the media controls the mind. And most American people are sheeples. We're like a bunch of sheeples listening to... being led to the slaughter, and that's got to stop.
Well said.
And the asphalt telling the gasoline what to do, and that's not going to happen no more.
Great call. Thank you so much. And let's go to James in Vancouver. James.
Yes. Ed Buck is sentenced to 30 years in jail for drugging two men. It went down last year. He was convicted. According to this article, New York Times. His real name is Buchmelter. You pronounce that Buchmelter.
And anyway, he did what again?
He lured men into his place and got them high on methamphetamine, and they OD'd. They died, at least in two cases. Mm-hmm. It is reported. Mm-hmm. Nice guy.
He got 30 years. So
well, he was connected to the Democratic Party and Bill and Hillary Clinton. He was a big donator because he was a big business operator that had a courier service. So this is his background. It's what I'm calling up to give you.
Okay.
He was also a friend of Hillary Clinton, a major donator of Hillary Clinton.
Yes, exactly. So it could be that they wanted to get rid of him as well because he was a liability at this point. So he's in for 30 years. Okay, I'll let you guys go.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye now. Bye.
Bye, James.
Well, I'm sure, the corruption, not even excluding pedophilia in politics, is something you've been aware of for a while. And, you know, you hear about the child trafficking. Sometimes people focus on that. Leftist activists, we're feeling sorry for the children of the people of color who are being exploited and the child trafficking and sex slaves and all that of the immigration. And, we have nothing negative or racist, or racial, I'm playing into their own stereotypes, but you know what I mean. But that'll be a card that it'll be used for that a lot, but there is a real element to it out there as well, Willem.
Yeah, that is true. It is we only see the tip of the iceberg. I mean, if you only see the old Epstein case, I mean, I think that now people go to jail if they like this guy in the subway who attacked this guy who was already 30 times arrested. He was arresting other people. This ex-Marine guy, what is his name? And nobody was arrested with this Epstein case, who were in these small books. That says it all. Pedophilia is a very intrinsic part of politics nowadays, and it's openly, it's more openly as well, with this whole LGBTQ grooming ideology that is being normalized. It's being normalized, and there are again the same kind of people behind the porn industry. So, and the LGBTQ movement, the gay movement, so it's perversion of this whole society. That's a whole other chapter, of course.
News and moral depravity of society next time with Willem. Thank you so much, brother. I hope you have a good week in spite of all.
Same to you, Rich. Good to speak with you. Take care of everybody. Speak next week.
Thank you, brother. And folks, I, of course, will be back tomorrow with the roundtable. Please support the station. We could really use your help right now. RBN is in a bit of a tight spot. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on donate. We really could use your help right now, folks. It's been pretty tough. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.